service featuring Pastor E. Edeboye, Pastor Folu Edeboye, Pastor Nathaniel Bassey, Pastor Kunle Ajayi, and other ministers. The theme is Let the Fire Fall, 7 p.m. at the International Center, 6900 Airport Road, Mississauga. Admission is free. Come and experience the power of the Lord. Call 1-866-586-RCCG or visit rccgcanada.org. Friday, June 8th is the 2018 RCCG Canada Holy Ghost Service featuring Pastor E. Edeboye, Pastor Folu Edeboye, Pastor Nathaniel Bassey, Pastor Kunle Ajayi, and other ministers. The theme is Let the Fire Fall, 7 p.m. at the International Center, 6900 Airport Road, Mississauga. Admission is free. Come and experience the power of the Lord. Call 1-866-586-RCCG or visit rccgcanada.org.
Thank you. Well, let's lift our hands to the Almighty God and begin to bless His holy name. Give Him glory, give Him honor, give Him adoration. Bless Him, bless Him, bless Him. Worship Him. Give Him glory, give Him honor, give Him adoration. Bless Him. Bless the King of Kings. Bless the Lord of Lords. Magnify His holy name. Praise Him. Let Him hear your voice. Praise Him, praise Him. Praise the King of Kings, praise the Lord of Lords. Magnify His holy name. He's worthy, He's worthy to be praised. Praise Him. Thank you, Father. Oh yes, worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Ancient of Days. He's worthy, He's worthy to be praised. Praise Him. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we worship. I want you to lift your voice to the Almighty God loud and clear and say, Father,
Father,
the Most High.
The Most High.
If you are touching two people here tonight,
if you are touching two people here tonight,
let me be one of them.
Let me be one of them.
Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. If you are touching two people here tonight, Most High God, let me be one of them. Let me be one of them. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. If you are touching two people here tonight, let me be one of them. Let me be one of them. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.
Amen.
I know my Redeemer liveth. I know my Redeemer liveth. I know my Redeemer liveth. He liveth forevermore. I know
my Redeemer liveth. I know my Redeemer liveth. I know my Redeemer liveth. He liveth forevermore.
Father Almighty, we want to bless your holy name. The Ancient of Days, the one who made the earth and the fullness thereof, we worship you. We thank you because we are not gathering here tonight just for the sake of gathering. We're gathering here tonight because Europe is in need of you. We're here because your word says that if two of us shall agree as touching anything we ask on earth, our Father in heaven will do it for us. Where, Lord God Almighty, that Europe might be saved.
Amen.
Please do it for us.
Amen.
Revive the nations here.
Amen.
At a time when someone going out is not even sure he will return, because we never can tell when the terrorists will attack next. Prince of Peace, come and take over.
Yes.
Bring these nations back to yourself.
Yes.
In this period of darkness, let there be light.
Yes.
And Father, all the families that are represented here tonight, whatever may be our individual problems, solve them, O Lord.
Yes.
And every individual here tonight, my Father and my God, I pray that by the time they leave this place, they'll be singing a new song.
Amen.
Save souls tonight.
Amen.
Heal tonight.
Amen.
Set free tonight.
Amen.
Bless tonight.
Amen.
Do what you alone can do.
Amen.
At the end of everything, take all the glory. And give us the blessings.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Let somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. Well, shake hands with one or two people, prophesy to them and say, God will visit you tonight. And then you may please be seated, and please put your hands together once again for the choir. They've done a marvelous job, and I want to appreciate all the musicians that are ministered tonight. They all did very well, very well. I thank the Almighty God for making it possible for all of us to gather here tonight. And I thank God for all the great men and women of God here, ministers of the gospel and ministers in government. The God that we have come to honor will honor you.
Amen.
How many of us are attending a Holy Ghost night or Festival of Life, as we call it in Europe? Back home, we just call it Holy Ghost night, because it's the night of the Holy Ghost. But they say here you don't want to hear ghost. That's why you call it Festival of Life. So if you are attending Festival of Life for the first time, please wave your hand. Oh, okay. Well, you will go home with a first-time miracle in Jesus' name. Now, with so many of you coming for the first time, then I will need to explain one or two things so that we can flow together on the same wavelength. Whenever God wants to speak through a congregation, no matter how large, he addresses himself to individuals. You see, he made us one at a time. So even if he's talking to a million people, he will still address himself to an individual. For example, he was talking to a whole church in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, when he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man hears my voice," he's addressing himself to any man. In John 3:16, he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever," again, talking to individuals. So as we go along tonight, it is possible for you to hear there is someone here. And then God will say one or two things to that fellow. And at the end of the day, that one person may be 100 or more. Don't think we made a mistake. That's the way God talks. For example, There is someone here tonight who will never weep again. Ah. Where is that one fellow? All right, now you got that one. Secondly, the Holy Spirit flows like a river. Jesus Christ said it in John chapter 7, from verse 37 to 39, when he said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. Please, may I appeal to those of you taking pictures. We have come to a solemn period. If you want to take pictures, take now before I continue. And now, after you have taken what you want to take now, please settle down. Let the Holy Spirit move. It's not a joking matter here. The sick will be healed here tonight. Captives will be set free. Miracles will happen. And so it's not a joking gathering. That's why I begged them to bring light. You know, when you came, where you were sitting was dark. It's not a concert. It's a gathering of children of light. Do I hear amen? Now, where was I before these photographers? This God have mercy on you. Jesus Christ said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. And the Bible said, by this he meant the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost flows like a river. And those of us who came from villages, you know, when you need water, you go to the village stream with your bucket. In your own case, you just turn the faucet. We go to the river to get the water. Now, when it is your turn to dip in your bucket and bring out the water that you need, if you hesitate, the river won't wait for you. It will flow on. So as we go along, if somewhere along the line God wants to talk about your case, and at that time you are thinking of the Kentucky chicken you didn't eat before you came, or you doze off, and then you suddenly hear somebody sitting next to you say, amen. And then you woke up and say, what did he say? By then it will be too late. So tell your neighbor, for the next 1 hour, please stay on the alert. Okay. Then, in America in particular, but I know they also do so somewhere in some of the countries of Europe, excuse me, you have some restaurants where they say you can come in and eat all you can. I think they call it buffet restaurants. So everybody will pay the same price. Then you will go in and they will spread the table. All manners of meat, all manners of vegetables and so on. And they say, eat all you can. Now some people will come there, pay what everybody is paying, and take one spoon of rice, one little chicken, and that's all. Anytime I go to such a place and I see people like that, I always wonder, why are they here? Because when I go to such a restaurant, by the time I leave, they will know somebody had visited. The way you laugh, you must be like me. Now, the reason I'm telling you that is that tonight, the Almighty God has spread a table before you. Yeah. On the table, there's salvation, yeah. There's healing, yeah. There's deliverance, yeah. Miracles, yeah. Breakthroughs. Yeah. Now, how much of it do you want? Oh. Good. Thank you. So, and then finally, when you go through the scriptures, you will find that In almost all the cases where Jesus performed a miracle, he will ask the fellow concerned, do you believe I can do this? If the fellow says, I can do it, he will say, okay, then be it unto you according to your faith. Or he may say, your faith has made thee whole. So the things that God will do here tonight is going to depend on your faith. I want to assure you that God is here. There's no doubt about that. Because he said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I will be there. And we are more than two or three here. And then, of course, I have an additional reason why I know he's here. Because when he was calling me into full-time ministry, almost 40 years ago now, he gave me only one assurance. He said, son, wherever you go, I will go with you. So I know he's here with me. And so the question now is, when do you want your miracle? Do you believe you will get yours tonight? Good. Then we are ready. Psalm 91. I'm going to read only three verses. Psalm 91. When you get home, please read the whole chapter. That's verses 1, 10, and 14. Verses 1, 10, and 14. Verse 1 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Okay. Verse 10 says, there shall no evil before thee, neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling. And then verse 14, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. In mathematics, you know, I used to be a mathematician. Our teachers always say that we should go from the known to the unknown. We begin with what is obvious, what is easy to understand, and then we move from there to more complicated issues. So we're going to start from the known, the one that is easy for everybody to understand. And that's verse 1 of Psalm 91. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There are four things there that is easy to see. The first thing is that there is someone called the Most High. The people who translated the Bible into English had a problem when they got to this verse. Because in English, when you are comparing heights, you talk of high, higher, highest. But then they came across a word that is actually saying there is someone who is higher than the highest. And Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 8, Ecclesiastes 5 verse 8 says there is someone who is higher than the highest. So they didn't know how to say that one. They've already come to highest. They can't say most highest. They can't say more than highest. They simply say, all right, let's just call him the Most High. Because what will you call someone who, when all kings gather together, they say, this is our king? It's called the King of Kings. When all lords gather together, they say, this is our Lord. So they call him the Most High. Because when, in the olden days, when you want to compare kings, as to know which one is greater than the other, you consider their thrones. How high is your throne? So they turn to this person we are talking about. And they say, now, how high is your throne? He said, my throne is in heaven. What about your footstool? He said, the whole earth is my footstool. Isaiah 66, verse 1. Isaiah 66, verse 1. And when we talk about the Most High, when we talk about kings, when you begin to mention kings, as soon as you hear the name of a particular king, you begin to say, oh, that we know that that's a great king. But this particular king says, my name is above every other name. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Philippians 2, verse 9. So there is someone called the Most High. Four boys were playing in one state house. I won't tell you which one. And you know boys, when boys are playing, they begin to brag about their father. And if you paid attention to the song we just sang, my father is the greatest, the richest, and so on, you will know that that must have been written by somebody boasting about his father. So one of the boys said, my father is the greatest. He's greater than all your fathers. The other three said, why? He said, because my father is the president. He's the head of state, commander-in-chief. The second boy answered and said, my father is greater than your father. And the first boy said, why? He said, because my father is your father's physician. If he commands your father to stay in bed for 1 week, your father must obey. So my father commands your father. You say your father is commander-in-chief? My father is the one who commands the commander-in-chief. The third boy said, but my father is greater than your father. And the first two said, how come? He said, because my father is your father's witch doctor. He can kill your two fathers without firing a gun. And then the fourth boy said, but my father is greater than all your fathers. And they looked at him because he happened to be the son of the messenger. He said, everybody is talking about father being great. You are talking to. He said, you don't know my father. We know your father. Your father is the messenger. He said, no. You don't know my father. My father, not only can he kill, he can raise the dead. I'm not talking of my father on earth, I'm talking of my father in heaven. And his name is Jesus. Do I hear somebody shout that name?
Jesus!
So there's someone called the Most High. Now, this Most High has a secret place. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. The Most High has a secret place. The secret place of the Most High is where he hides his own people in time of trouble. Psalm 27 verse 5. Psalm 27 verse 5 says, in the time of trouble, he will hide me in his pavilion. In his secret place, that's where he will hide me. Psalm 91 verse 4. Psalm 91 verse 4 says, he will hide me under his feathers, under his wings. Some of us might not understand that particular passage, except you had lived in the villages and you have seen the chickens doing free ranging. When the mother hen is leading the chicks out to go and eat, the little chicks will be busy picking up insects and enjoying themselves. They won't be aware that there's an eagle flying overhead, also looking for chicks to eat. But the mother hen, because of experience, once she sees a shadow moving on the ground, you say, oh, there's an eagle up there. And it will make a sound to the other chicks. Something like coo, 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 coo. And the little chicks will run to the mother hen and it will cover them with her wings.
So when the eagle looks down, you will see one very big hen, too heavy to carry, and it will fly off so that the little chicks can continue to enjoy. Now, that secret place of the Most High is a name. Proverbs chapter 18 verse 10. Proverbs 18 verse 10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is saved. One young boy gave his life to Jesus Christ in a town called Ilorin. The father belongs to another faith, not a Christian. And the father is a very, very famous man in the other faith. But this boy gave his life to Jesus Christ, and he began to preach the gospel. He began to tell everybody about Jesus. And that became a big embarrassment to his father. So the father said, what am I going to do? This boy has spoiled my name. So he told some of his friends, help me kill this boy. And his friends told him, if we kill him, it's not going to have the same effect as we want, because everybody had already seen him talking about Jesus Christ. They said, what we will do is we will run him mad. Then when he goes crazy, everybody will say, now we understand. It was the beginning of madness that caused him to be saying, Jesus is Lord. So they told the father, we will make a charm. Now you Europeans, you may not understand these things, but it's true. I know some of you think that there are no demons. The difference between the demons in Europe and the demons in Africa is that the demons in Europe went to college. That's the only difference. But there are demons everywhere. Anyway, so the friend said, we will make a charm. And what you should do is stand on a story building, send for your son. When he's coming, call his name. If he looks up, that'll be the last thing he will remember. He will go mad. So the father did what he asked him to do. He got the charms ready. He sent for the boy. And when the boy was coming, he called his name. And automatically when your father calls you, you want to look at who is calling. So the boy looked up. And when he looked up, instead of seeing his father, he saw a huge mountain descending upon him. There was no time to pray, but there was enough time to shout a name. Let me hear you shout that name. And the mountain went back. The boy is still preaching the gospel today. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and he says, so there is someone called the Almighty. He has a secret place. And then there's someone called the Most High. He has a secret place. And then now, three, there is someone called the Almighty. Again, the translators had a problem translating this word Almighty. You see, because you can have a mighty man, a very mighty man, a very, very mighty man. But here is someone who is so mighty that all other mighty men got their might from him. And they know that every so-called mighty man is limited. For example, 2 Kings chapter 5 verse 1, 2 Kings 5 verse 1 tells us that Naaman was a mighty man of valor. But when it comes to dealing with leprosy, his might becomes nothing. They know that it is written in 2 Samuel 21, verse 15 to 17, 2 Samuel 21, 15 to 17, that David, who was the giant killer, without any doubt, a mighty man, at a stage, he grew tired. He went to war and became tired. But there's this person who never gets tired. There's this somebody who is never sick. There's this person who has no limit at all. This person who, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 37, Luke 1, verse 37, the Bible says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." So this, how do we describe him? They call him Almighty. The one who has all might. The one who can make the impossible possible. And I believe God is talking to someone here tonight. Anytime the word impossible is used, the Almighty God will say, "Aha, now, let me show them that when human beings have come to the end of their senses, of their ropes, I can show them that there is somebody who is stronger than the strongest." Some of you probably had a testimony of one of my daughters who wrote to me. Every time she became pregnant, the pregnancy would come down at 5 months. So the doctors told her, "Stop wasting your time. It's not your fault. Your womb is incapable of carrying a baby to full time. So stop worrying. Go and adopt a child." Then she wrote to me saying, "Daddy, this is what the doctor said." And I prayed, and the Almighty God told me that, "Tell her she will have her children." And I thought that what God meant, and of course I wrote, and I thought that what God meant is that she will get one child, and then after that get another, and so on. That very month, she became pregnant. And this time, she carried the pregnancy to full time. And when the time came to deliver, she gave birth to 4. You see, the moment God heard the word impossible, he squared his shoulders. Said, "Let's show the doctors." I have good news for someone here today. That which the doctor said is impossible shall become possible for you. Now, the Almighty has a shadow. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Okay. Now, in Psalm 17, verse 8, Psalm 17, verse 8, David was praying and said, "God, keep me as the apple of your eye and just hide me under your shadow." In Psalm 36, verse 7, Psalm 36, verse 7, the Bible says, "The son of man put their trust under the shadow of the Almighty." The Almighty has a shadow. And then I will tell you a parable. There was an ocean. And in the ocean, it was this huge mother shark and a baby shark. And there were 3 little fishes. Let me use fishes because they are of different species. And they were being tormented by this shark and the baby shark. So one day, the 3 little fishes called a prayer meeting. Now, you know it's a parable. You might be the fish I'm talking about. They said, "Lord, please come down. We need help." And so the Lord paid them a visit. And the Lord said, what's your request?" The first fish said, "My request is that I want all the scales of my body to become eyes." And I said, why? Oh, so I can see from any direction when the sharks are coming, so I will escape before they can get near. And I said, okay, if that's what you want, you get it. The second fish said, Lord, what I want is a pair of wings, so that whenever the sharks are moving, I fly out of the water. The sharks can fly. The Lord said, okay, if that's what you want, you get it. And then he turned to the third fish and said, what do you want? The third fish said, all I want is that wherever I go, you go with me. And the Lord said, okay. And so the Lord left. And as soon as he left, the first fish was suddenly brilliant with eyes all over the body. The second one developed powerful pair of wings. And then the sharks were swimming along, and they saw the fish with many eyes. Ah, this fish is very beautiful. It will make a very good meal. So they began to pursue. And then the fish swam towards the beach. And because it has so many eyes, it saw a little pool of water on the beach in the sand. So it made an effort and jumped out of the sea into that little pool of water and began to laugh at the sharks. Come and get me here if you can. But very soon, the sand rose. The little pool of water dried up, and the fish with many eyes died. Now, when the sharks saw that that one had escaped, they turned around and they saw the second fish with the pair of wings. Ah, let's go and get this. And that one said, I've already seen you. And it flew out of the water and began to laugh at the sharks. But very soon, an eagle was flying overhead. I said, oh Lord, I had always wanted to eat fish. Only I can't swim. And now you brought one to me in my domain. So the second fish ended in the stomach of the eagle. And then the third fish was just swimming, enjoying itself. And the baby shark said to the mother shark, ah, look at this one. Let's go and get this one. This one is not even afraid of us. The mother shark said, are you blind? Can't you see that wherever this one goes, there is the shadow of a man following him about? You go after that one, the man whose shadow you see will kill you. The Bible says in Psalm 121 verse 5, Psalm 121 verse 5, it said, the Lord is your shadow on your right hand. There is someone called the Most High. He has a secret place. There's someone called the Almighty, and the Almighty has a shadow. I pray for every one of you today, that beginning from now, wherever you go, the shadow of the Almighty, yeah, will cover you. Yeah. Now, I didn't tell you in advance, but I'm going to be calling on you from time to time to pray. Because it is a very serious night. A night like this comes only once, probably in a lifetime. And so, those of you who are young, whenever I say stand up and pray, you stand up and pray. Those of you who are old, you can do your praying sitting down. You say, what if we fall asleep? That's no problem. The Bible says, old men shall dream dreams. So if you fall asleep, no problem, dream. Now those of you who are young are those who are younger than I. And I'm only 75. So if you are younger than 75, stand on your feet now. And lift your voice to the Almighty God, loud and clear. And say, Father, the Most High, prove yourself in my life tonight. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. I know you are the Most High. I know you are the Almighty. Prove yourself in my life tonight. show that you are the Almighty. Prove yourself in my life tonight. Show me before I leave this place that all power belongs to you, that you can do all things, that there is no impossibility with you. Prove yourself in my life tonight. Prove yourself in my life tonight. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. And so shall it be in Jesus' name. Please be seated. Thank you. You are praying very well. I wasn't expecting Europeans to pray like that. Glory be to God. And the second thing we want to learn from this passage we read about the Most High is that He's higher than all mountains. And you know, mountains is symbolic of problems. Because it's the Most High. It's higher than all mountains. As a matter of fact, like I said to you earlier, in Isaiah 66 verse 1, He said His throne is in heaven. There's no mountain so high that can reach to the heavens. And then according to Psalm 90 verse 2, thank you, Father. This is early. The Lord said, there's someone here today. He said, you have even forgotten what it is to celebrate. But He asked me to tell you, you will celebrate soon. Psalm 90 verse 2, the Bible tells us, before the mountains were brought forth, is God. So He's higher than all mountains. He even knows the foundation of every mountain. He made them. And so He can uproot every mountain right from the bottom. Now, let's now therefore consider the fact that He's higher than all your problems. That He can deal with all your problems that we brought here tonight. Jeremiah 32 verse 27 says, I am the Lord God Almighty. Is anything too hard for me to do? When God asks a question, it's not because He doesn't know the answer. He's asking you to supply the answer. So, because He's the God of all flesh, there's nothing too hard for Him. That is good news for you because it means, number one, your flesh will obey Him. In Matthew 8 verse 1 to 3, a leper came to Him and said, I know you have enough power to make me clean if you are willing. And you know what He did? He said, I'm willing. He touched him. And immediately the flesh obeyed and he became clean. It doesn't matter what is troubling your flesh. All the Most High has to do is speak a word and your flesh will obey Him. Not only will your flesh obey Him, your bones will obey Him. Acts 3 verse 1 to 8 tells us the story of a man who was born lame. He didn't become lame after being born. He was born like that. And they always placed him by the beautiful gate of the temple. He was always there begging for alms. I mean, when you talk about a problem that the doctors cannot solve, that's a classical example. And one day, two men of God were going to the house of God to pray. You know them, and Peter and John. And the man was looking unto them for money. And Peter said to him, if you're looking for silver, I don't have. If you're looking for gold, I don't have. But I have connections. I'm connected to the Most High. So I'm saying to you, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. The Bible says, as soon as Peter touched him, the ankle bones received strength. Your bones will obey him. If your flesh will obey him and your bones will obey him, then your blood also will obey him. You know the story in Mark chapter 5, verse 25 to 34. Mark 5, 25 to 34 tells us the story of the woman with the issue of blood. This woman had been bleeding for some 12 years continuously. But something told her, if only you can get in contact with the Most High, your blood will obey him. And she came, touched the hem of the garment of the Most High, and the issue of blood ceased. Your blood will obey him. Now, suppose my problem is not that my blood is faulty. And when we talk about blood, you know, a lot of sicknesses and diseases that are blood-related. Hypertension, diabetes, etc., etc. You know, all kinds of problems that are flesh-related, cancer, whatever else you want to call it, and bones-related, and so on and so forth. But suppose it is not a case of my body developing a problem. What if I was born without something special in my body? Well, because he's the Most High, he can create what is missing. For example, in John chapter 9, verse 1 to 7, John 9, verse 1 to 7, the Bible mentioned a man who was born blind. He came into the world without eyes. When I used to joke with my children, I said the man was in a hurry to get to the world. He didn't wait for eyes. He got there to discover he needed eyes. But then after 40 years, he met the Most High. He spat on the ground, made some mud, and put where the eyes are supposed to be, just to demonstrate how he made man at the beginning, that you came from the dust of the earth. And so he told the fellow, now go and wash this thing off. He went and came back seeing. And I've seen him performing all manners of miracles along this line. Maybe I just tell you two stories very quickly. Because God is going to do some serious healings here tonight. I went to preach for a brother in a town called Kaduna in Nigeria. And after we finished preaching, he asked me to wait in his office while he was tidying up some things. And he put somebody at the door so that nobody would disturb me. But then I can hear through the door. A woman came to the fellow at the door and said, I want to see the man of God. And the fellow at the door said, why? And he said, no, it's none of your business. When I see him, I will tell him. Anyway, after a little bit of argument, the woman came in. And she was covered all over with only her eyes showing. And she began to speak and said, sir, I'm talking to you because the way you spoke about God, my faith has risen. I've not heard anybody speak like him like this before. I said, okay. He said, also number two, I'm talking to you because I know you won't be here next Sunday. You will soon be gone. So I began to feel there must be a real problem here. It's okay, what is your problem? Then she removed the cover and I saw she was a leper. So I shrank back. What are you doing here? Why don't you go to the hospital? She said, I have two sons. If I go to the hospital, they will send me to the leper colony. Who will take care of my children? Hey, why didn't you tell the brethren to pray before? He said, I told you. I'm only telling you because you don't live here. If I tell the brethren and they prayed, and I am not healed, next Sunday when they see me coming to church, they will say, here comes a leper. But in your own case, you'll be gone. Anyway, we cried to God. I did not touch her. I just cried to God, Almighty, do what you alone can do. And I left. About a year later, I was back in the same church. And as I was coming out of the car, I saw this beautiful lady, smiling brightly, coming towards me and said, you don't remember me, do you? I said, I'm sorry, ma, I do not. He said, I was the leper, but your God healed me. I want to decree to all of you who might be considered incurable, my God will touch you tonight. I want to tell you a second story, because some of you might need spare parts from heaven, and you are going to get it tonight. I was ministering in a town called Sapele. We're having series of programs, one in Sapele, one in Akure, and some other places. And I was visiting, going from one to the other. So I got to Sapele, and as I was ministering, suddenly God opened my eyes. And I saw in a vision, open vision, I saw a young boy who was born blind, receiving his sight. I was excited. I was much younger then. I'm talking of 1985 or so. I didn't wait for God to explain the vision to me before I began to talk. Ah, there's somebody here. There's a young boy here who is blind. God wants to open your eyes now. Come out quickly. Nobody moved. Oh, if you are the one who brought the boy, bring the boy forward. Nobody moved. I know what I saw. Oh, okay. Maybe you are here and it is your son who is blind and is at home. Go and bring him. Nobody moved. I waited. I told them I will wait after the program. Go and bring the boy and bring him because God wants to open his eyes. I waited. Nobody came. After about 2 hours, reluctantly, because I felt I was losing a great miracle, I left for Akure. By the time I arrived in Akure, because I delayed, they had waited for me to preach, but when they couldn't find me, they put somebody else on the pulpit. So I came and I sat at the back of the congregation. As the preacher was preaching, suddenly I saw an elderly man standing up in the congregation and leading a boy by hand. And it was the boy I saw in my vision. And he was moving the boy towards the altar. Now there were security people lining up before the altar. As soon as they saw a man coming, they thought, what is this man going to do? They were already going to push him aside. And the crowd is a little more than this. So I began to run from where I was sitting, so I can get to this boy before they push him into the crowd, so I don't lose this miracle again. As I was running, the boy heard my footstep and instinctively turned. And as he turned, his eyes opened. I didn't touch him. I didn't pray for him. But the Most High touched him. I want you to stand on your feet and lift your voice to the Almighty God and say, Father, Most High God, every physical mountain in my life, remove it tonight. Please open your mouth and pray.
every physical mountain, whatever name the doctors have called it, every form of sickness, every form of disease, Lord God Almighty, every physical mountain, remove it from my life tonight. You can make me whole. I know, Father, you can make me whole. Every physical mountain, please remove it tonight. Thank you, Father. Every physical mountain, remove from my life tonight. Whatever may be the name of the mountain, whether it's a sickness in my body or a form of handicap, Lord, every physical mountain, remove from my life tonight. Please, Father, remove it from my life tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Almighty God. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. So shall it be in Jesus' name. Please be seated. I have good news for you, because the healing wave had already started. And even as I continue speaking, you can begin to check the things you were not able to do before, you can do them now. Now, it can move physical mountains. It can also move material mountains. It can move material mountains because according to Genesis 17 verse 1, thank you, Father. The Lord asked me to tell someone here tonight, he said, the door is open now. He asked me to tell you, press forward. I am behind you. And you will not fail. Please go ahead and give the Lord a big round of applause. That's a big one. Thank you, Father. Genesis 17 verse 1, Genesis 17 verse 1 tells us that his name is Jehovah El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. In Exodus 17 verse 1 to 6, Exodus 17 verse 1 to 6, he brought water out of the rock. It's a God who can bring something out of nothing. And in Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 7, Luke 5, verse 1 to 7, he can turn failure to success. Because Peter fished all night and caught nothing. Now that's what is called failure. There was a man who was hardworking. He wasn't a lazy man, but he worked very hard. And at the end of the day, there was nothing to show for it. And I think I told some of you not too long ago, nobody is interested in how hard you have worked unless you can show results. That's all they want to see, results, results. So some of us who have been in these nations for years now, and the reason some of us can't go back home is simply because they will ask us, you've gone all these years, what have you brought back? And it's not as if we have not been working hard. It's just that results are not there. But in the name that's above every other name, after this convention, there will be results. B
Because he can turn failure to success. And then in John chapter 2, verse 1 to 11, we see the story of the wedding in Cana of Galilee. And the Bible said they ran out of wine. And the implication of that is simply this, that if God had not done something, the bride and the bridegroom of that occasion would have lived the rest of their life in shame. Because people will always refer to them as the couple at whose wedding the wine ran out. And you know human beings. When human beings want to talk about you, they look for what is wrong. Ask anybody, any child. You mention Bartimaeus. The next thing they will say is blind Bartimaeus. But his eyes have been opened more than 2,000 years ago. But the word blind remains there. So if you were to fail, particularly on your day of celebration, the people will not remember any other thing other than the fact that on their day of joy, they ended up with shame. But the Most High was invited, and he changed their shame to glory. And I'm believing God he will do the same for you today. There was this woman who had a mother. The mother was blind. And things were hard for the poor girl. So the landlord came and said, if you don't get my rent ready by 12 noon tomorrow, I'm going to throw you out of the house. But please, even if you don't think of me, think of my blind mother. Where will I go with poor old woman? Get my money ready by 12 noon or you are out. So throughout that night, the lady was crying to the Almighty God, have mercy on me. You are the great provider. Finally, tired, worn out, she fell asleep. When she woke up with a start, she started smelling food being prepared in the kitchen. There are only two of us living here, my mama and I. Who is the fellow cooking in the kitchen? She went, and it was the mom. What's going on, mama? Mama said, while you are sleeping, God opened my eyes. And the girl said, the God who can open your eyes will provide the money for the rent. And you know, she went to the mailbox, and there was a letter from one uncle that she had never heard of for a long time, who died, and said that a certain check should be sent to her as an inheritance. There is a God who can not only take care of your physical mountains, it can take care of your financial mountains as well. So I want you to stand on your feet and lift your voice to him and say, Father, you are the Most High. Every financial mountain in my life, take it away. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. Talk to him. Every material mountain in my life, every load of debt, every financial hardship of any type, Father, take it away. Take it away. Take it away. Oh, Almighty God, you are the Most High. Every financial mountain in my life,
Take it away today. Don't let me lack anymore. Don't let me know poverty again. Don't let me know poverty again. Help me, Almighty. I want to be able to live free of debt. Help me, Father. Help me, Almighty God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Almighty. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. So shall it be in Jesus' name. Please be seated. And he can also move spiritual mountains. Because he's the Most High, he can remove physical mountains, he can remove material mountains, he can remove spiritual mountains. Why? Because Psalm 24, from verse 7 to 10, Psalm 24 from verse 7 to 10 says, he's the Lord of hosts. And when the Bible calls him the Lord of hosts, for years I thought that simply means he's the controller of angels. But I've since discovered that because the Bible says at the name of Jesus, all knees must bow, of things in heaven, things on earth, and things underneath the earth, he's the Lord of all hosts, whether those in heaven or those on earth, or even those underneath the earth. In other words, he's also the commander-in-chief, even of all demons. The devil cannot do anything without getting permission from him first. You don't believe me? Read the book of Job. So he's the Lord of hosts. And so he can deal with demons, even if it's only one. In Mark chapter 1, verse 23 to 27, Mark 1, 23 to 27, the Bible tells us that there was a man with an unclean spirit in the temple. And so there are people who are in the church, and they have just one demon, not too many. But when Jesus came, he drove that one out. In Luke chapter 8, verse 1 to 3, Luke 8, verse 1 to 3, the Bible talks about a woman called Mary Magdalene. In her own case, she had seven demons. And Jesus Christ drove all the seven out and turned the woman to a divine treasurer. In Mark chapter 5, verse 1 to 15, Mark 5, verse 1 to 15, the Bible talked about the madman of Gadara. And the Bible says he had a legion of demons. A Bible scholar said that legion in those days means at least 6,000. For one man to be possessed by 6,000 demons, you can then understand why he chose to go and live among the dead. But the day he came in contact with the Most High, just one word, and all the demons were gone. Maybe I tell you two stories very quickly, since I come to you only once in 2 years. They brought a young man to us. He was like a vegetable. What happened was, he attended a meeting somewhere, we don't know what, and came back loaded with demons. So loaded with demons, he couldn't sit down, he couldn't stand, he couldn't walk. He was just like a vegetable. They carried him into the church, and I wanted to pray for him. So I said, young man, kneel down. He said, I can't kneel. I said, I command you to kneel. And he asked me a very strange question. He said, in whose name? I said, in the name of Jesus. He said, that's different.
So he knelt down. I prayed for him. I said, now stand up. He said, I can't stand. I said, I command you to stand. He said, in whose name? I said, in the name of Jesus. So he stood. I said, I now command you, go home, go and wash and go back to work. He said, I can't walk. I said, I command you to walk. He said, in whose name? I said, in the name of Jesus. He said, that is different. Let me hear you shout the name Jesus. That's one example. If you have another example to let you know that there is somebody who can take care of all demonic oppressions in your life. Because some of us are suffering because there are unseen forces disturbing us. Some of us can't make progress because unseen forces have bound our legs. Some of us, whatever we touch is not prospering because unseen forces have bound the hands. You can't see this. And there are some of you who think that whatever you cannot see does not exist. And that's a joke. Because nobody sees electricity. We only see the effect. If I give you two wires, one that is life, with electricity, and one that has no electricity, they look alike. It's only when you touch both. Unfortunately, you won't be alive to tell us the difference. There are forces that you can't see. And I believe God brought you here today to set you free. Yeah. And you shall be free indeed. Yeah. Now this one, this story is about him being the Lord of hosts, the controller of all forces. I went to Cameroon to go and preach the gospel. And I had some police escort to clear the way so that I can move freely because the traffic was always heavy. But for one reason or the other, it appears as if the drivers there had no regards for the policemen. They blew their horn. They didn't even move out of the way. And I was almost getting late for the program. But all of a sudden, out of nowhere, came a madman. And I'm telling you, this man was mad. Just looking at his eyes, you could see demons dancing. You can see saliva dripping out of his mouth. And he just came in front of me and he would slap the bonnet of a car and the driver would look at his direction and saw him and then he would beckon and the driver would move out of the way. He went to the second one. Within minutes, he had cleared the way for me. As soon as I got clear of the traffic jam, he came to my side of the car, bowed down, and disappeared. The children who were with me in the car froze. Because this man was, they were thinking sooner or later he would come to us to tell us where to turn to. But he came to bow. And I said to them, I told you my father is the Lord of hosts. I want you to stand on your feet and lift your voice to the Almighty God loud and clear and say, Father, the Most High God, every spiritual problem tormenting my life, put an end to it tonight. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. Talk to the Almighty God. Every spiritual problem tormenting my life, put an end to it tonight. Put an end to it tonight. You are the Most High God. Every spiritual problem tormenting my life, Remove it tonight. Remove it tonight. Remove it tonight. Thank you, Father. Move every spiritual mountain out of my life tonight. Thank you, Father. Glory be to your holy name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.
Friday, June 8th is the 2018 RCCG Canada Holy Ghost Service featuring Pastor E. Edeboye, Pastor Folu Edeboye, Pastor Nathaniel Bassey, Pastor Quinle Ajayi, and other ministers. The theme is Let the Fire Fall. 7 p.m. at the International Center, 6900 Airport Road, Mississauga. Admission is free. Come and experience the power of the Lord. Call 1-866-586-RCCG or visit rccgcanada.org.
So shall it be in Jesus' name. Please be seated. Another very important point about the Most High is that he can promote you to any height. You know, when people talk, they always say that the sky is the limit for somebody. But that's leaving out the Most High. Because the sky is very low as far as he's concerned. And when he decides to promote you, he can promote you to any height. Why? Deuteronomy 33 verse 27. Deuteronomy 33 verse 27 says, his arms are everlasting. So the moment he picks you up and he begins to promote you, there's no telling how far he can take you. No telling. I've always given the illustration, if I want to promote this my notebook and I lift it up, how high it can go is determined by how tall I am. If I want it to go higher than where it is now, I can go on my toes. But after some time, my toes will begin to pain me, so I go back on my feet. And after some time, my arms will begin to pain me, and down comes the notebook. After some time, I want to sit down, and it goes lower still, and so on and so forth. I've always told politicians, when I'm trying to convince them to surrender their life to Jesus Christ, I always tell them that if human beings promote you, the same human beings will bring you down. But when God promotes you, he promotes you permanently. And believe in God that somebody will get permanent promotion today. But again, let's take it in three parts. Let's take promotion physically, promotion materially, promotion spiritually. Now we'll take all three together before I ask you to pray again. Oh, thank you, Father. Among those people that God has healed tonight, he said there's someone here in particular. You are sick. You know you are sick. But the doctor said there's nothing wrong with you. The Lord asked me to tell you, I will heal you anyway. Now, physically, he can bring somebody from a pit and bring him to level ground. Psalm 40, verse 1 to 3. Psalm 40, verse 1 to 3. David said, he brought me out of a miry clay and then set my feet on the rock to stay. And you find an illustration in John 11, verse 39 to 44. John 11, 39 to 44. It is the story of Lazarus. Lazarus was not just dead. He was already buried. He was in the tomb. And he had been there for 4 days when God picked him from there and brought him out. I'm believing God for anyone that they said your case is already beyond repairs. God will surprise you tonight. He can also pick somebody from a valley and put him on a hilltop. For example, talking physically, you can read Mark chapter 2, verse 1 to 12. Mark 2, verse 1 to 12. It tells us about the story of a man. He wasn't dead, but he was paralyzed from neck downwards. It took 4 men to carry him. And you know, when they were carrying him to the roof, that was the first time that he ever climbed a roof. And from that day onward, because by the end of the story, he has met the Most High, he could not climb any mountain he wanted to. So he can pick you from the valley and move you to a hilltop. But if you're already on the hill, he can pick you from the hill and take you to a mountaintop. I'm talking about physically now. Consider, for example, Peter. I can see that God loves you in Europe. There is still hope for you. Because he said there's someone here tonight, he said your fortune had always been swinging. Up today, down tomorrow, up today, down tomorrow. He asked me to tell you from now, it will be up. I was talking about Peter. Peter wasn't dead. He wasn't sick. As a matter of fact, he was healthy. In Luke chapter 5, when we met him, Luke 5 from verse 1 to 11. You have to be healthy to be able to fish all night. He wasn't sick at all. But he met the Most High. And he picked him from there and said, all right, let's promote you higher. You know, it wasn't long before Peter could shake a man and the lame man would begin to walk. As a matter of fact, by the time you get to Acts chapter 5, from verse 14 to 16, Acts 5, 14 to 16, the shadow of Peter was beginning to heal the sick. That's promotion. And I'm believing God for someone here today that your promotion will begin. I can give you... Thank you, Father. The Lord said there's someone here who used to be a high flyer. But right now, you are crawling. Situation had reduced you to crawling. Daddy asked me to tell you, you will fly high again. I used to be very sickly. My problem was malaria fever. And as a sportsman, you know what that could mean. Once every 2 weeks, malaria fever would knock me down. And if it didn't knock me down in 2 weeks, we would celebrate in my family. We would drink champagne, and then by the following morning, headache would come. Then I met the Most High God. Not only did he heal me, but we could testify. I mean, I was in a bookshop in America, minding my own business, buying books. And an American came, saw the books and tapes. I said, why What are you going to do with all this? And then he stretched his hand to greet me. And I shook his hand. And suddenly he began to scream. Ah, what happened? He said that there was a back pain that had been there for years. That as I shook his hand, the pain disappeared. And began to ask my, when he began to scream, of course, I walked away from there. I don't want advertisement. So he began to ask my children who were there with me, who is that? And they began to tell, you know, how children will boast. Oh, our father is the biggest pastor in the world, et cetera, et cetera. So the man came to me and said, shake me again. But one of the cases that I found extremely interesting to show you how far God can promote you was an occasion when we were having a Holy Ghost night like this. And the Lord said that there are some people with very severe backache, so bad that they can't touch their toes, they can't bend. He said I should call them out because he wanted to heal them. I was glad, so I called them out. And when they came out, I thought he was going to say lay hands on them or slap them in the back or something like that. But then he said to me, dance around them. Dance? Why will I say I'm dancing? I'm rejoicing because your back is aching. But I knew who spoke. So I told the boys to begin to play, and they began to play, and I danced around them. After I've been dancing for a few minutes, I said, that's enough. Tell them to touch their toes. And they were all healed. I'm believing God for someone today. Your promotion will begin. Maybe you should pray on that one. Stand on your feet and lift your voice to the Almighty God and say, Father, the Most High God, beginning right now, let my physical promotion begin. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. Talk to the Almighty God. Thank you, Father. Let my promotion begin. Almighty God, let my promotion begin. Thank you, Father. In my place of work, let me be promoted. In my college, let me be promoted. In every area of life, let me be promoted. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. And so shall it be in Jesus' name. Please be seated. He can promote you materially. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7, 2 Kings 4, verse 1 to 7, the widow of one of the sons of the prophet was in a pit. She was heavily in debt. She was what you would call bankrupt because the creditor said there's nothing worthy of value or that anyone could call valuable in your house except your two sons. And they said, you don't pay, we sell your sons. But she cried to the Most High God, and he brought him out of the pit. In a way you can't understand, I pray that whatever debt you are owing, the Almighty will help you pay. Yeah. In 1 Kings chapter 17, 1 Kings 17, verse 8 to 16. The Lord said, the fellow concerned in this case will understand. They asked me to tell you that the drums that used to summon your enemies to battle against you will break tonight. In 1 Kings 17, verse 8 to 16, the widow of Zarephath wasn't in debt, but she had only one meal left. You could also say she too was near destitute. Now, quite a few of us who are not in debt, but we are hardly surviving. Or we are in debt, it's just that somehow we manage to pay a token every month that is still allowing us to hang over to our house, hang over to our car. But the moment the widow of Zarephath came in contact with the Most High God, she never lacked again. And somebody here will never lack again. But then there was this young man in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 6 to 15. 2 Chronicles 1, from verse 6 to 15. He was already on a hilltop, financially speaking. You have to be wealthy to be able to offer 1,000 burnt offerings in one day. That's Solomon. But then that night after the offering, he had an encounter with the Most High. And the Most High showed him, you think you are rich before? Now I show you what it is to be rich. Because by the time the Most High finished with him, the Bible said, silver became like stones. It's like someone saying to those who are working for him, anytime you want to bring in the takings from today's sales, anything less than 500 euros, I don't want to see. Bring 500 euros, the rest you can go and share. That's a level of wealth that is available to anybody when you come in contact with the Most High God. Because of time, I won't tell you too many stories there. But I know a young man who came to me once and said, Daddy, I want to sponsor the whole convention. And in Nigeria, in our own convention, we feed the people. We give them 2 meals a day. I looked at him, I said, sorry, sir. It's either you don't know what we're talking about or there's something wrong with you. Because, you're talking about feeding a couple of millions of people for 1 week. He said, tell me how much. I said, I don't know how much it will come this year. It will cost this year because I don't know how many people are coming. But I can tell you how much it cost me last year. And he said, let's start from there. So I told him. And he left. And I thought he was joking. But then the following day or so, he came back with what do they call it? Banker's check. It's not an ordinary cash, not an ordinary check that you can say it will bounce. It is banker's draft or whatever you call it, a bank draft. And I did not know this funny fellow went to borrow the money. Well, I took the money from him. I prayed for him. I prayed the prayer. I always pray for those who give me gifts, that next time you will do more. Why are you looking at me like that? You think I must be greedy? No, when I say next time you'll be able to do more, it means next time you'll still be alive. Next time you will have prospered more. Today, the bank that he borrowed from, he is the chairman. When you come in contact with the Most High, he can promote you financially beyond your wildest dreams. That's the God we are serving. But let me quickly add, he can also promote you spiritually. Thank you, Father. This is for one person in particular. The Lord, wait a minute. The Lord asked me to tell you, I've opened blind eyes before. I will do it again. Spiritually, he can promote you from the pit. Like I mentioned earlier on, he took the madman of Gadara from a pit, from the tomb, and turned him to an evangelist. He took the man, the leper, who must go about shouting unclean, unclean, and transformed him also to an evangelist. That's in Mark chapter 1, verse 40 to 45. Mark 1, 40 to 45. And he can pick somebody on a hilltop and move him to the mountain spiritually. For example, Philippians chapter 3, verse 4 to 6. Philippians 3, 4 to 6 was talking about Saul of Tarsus. As far as the religion of his father was concerned, he himself said, I was blameless. But it was only after he met the Most High God that his handkerchiefs began to heal the sick. He can pick you up from anywhere and turn you to a mighty vessel unto honor in his hand. And he's going to do that one today. I'll just tell you one story, and then you pray a prayer, and we'll move on. I was wondering which one I should tell you. There are many of them. Let me tell you one that I'm sure you, those of you who are coming for the first time, have never heard before. Now, I'm sure looking at me now, you think, look at a holy man. You thought maybe I was born like that. I was one of the most rotten of all sinners. I was a sportsman. I was a camera. I love photography. And I was also not doing too badly as a young man. You put all these things together, you know it means trouble. Because I ended up with so many girlfriends that I didn't even remember the number. And when two of them jam, I had to look for a way of explaining one to the other. This is the cousin of the uncle, of the auntie, of my senior sister. Now you are looking at me as if you are innocent. As if you have not been there. But of all these girls, there was one with whom we did everything together. You want to know the details, but it's none of your business. I was rotten, she was rotten, so we were rotten together. But then, after some time, we parted. She went away, I went my way. She got married, I got married. And by the grace of God, I've been married now for almost 50 years. And I'm still on honeymoon, so I didn't make a mistake at all. And in the meantime, I have met the Most High. He had saved my soul, and he has changed me to who I am now, become a pastor. And I was lecturing at the University of Ilorin when her husband was transferred from his place of work to Ilorin. And so, of course, she came to Ilorin. And she had given birth to a child that was born lame. So when they arrived in Ilorin, Somebody told her, there's a pastor up there. Miracles are happening over there. Take your child to him. We'll pray the child will walk. So she came. She came to the mission house where I was staying. I met some people at the veranda. I said, I want to see the pastor. They said, he's inside. So she opened the door and saw me. And we greeted, you know, old flames. A long time no see, et cetera, et cetera. After that, she said, I want to see the pastor. I said, yes. Can I help you? She said, I want to see the pastor. I said, I'm the pastor. She said, you? I said, yes. She said, you the pastor? I said, yes. She said, you will pray and God will answer. She didn't know that I had met the Most High. We prayed a simple prayer, and the child began to walk. I want you to stand on your feet and cry to the Almighty God and say, Father, you are the Most High. Promote me spiritually. Please talk to the Almighty God. Promote me spiritually. Oh, Almighty God, promote me spiritually. 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 Thank you, Father. Promote me spiritually. Oh, my Lord and my God, please promote me spiritually. You are the Most High God. Please promote me spiritually. Promote me spiritually. Promote me spiritually. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. So shall it be in Jesus' name. Please be seated. The Lord asked me to tell someone tonight. He says, storms still obey me. And he said, that storm in your life shall be stilled. He asked me to tell someone. He said, hold on. Your victory is near. Now, I must tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I want to tell you one thing more about the Most High God. And that is, His standard is very high. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 to 3, Isaiah 6, verse 1 to 3, the Bible showed a vision to Isaiah. And he saw the Almighty God high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. The angels surrounding him were crying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. If you ask the Most High, give us one word by which you want to be remembered, the world will be holy. We all power belong to him. The angels could have been saying, powerful, powerful, powerful. His love, the angels could have been shouting, loving, loving, loving. The Bible says he's rich in mercy. The angels could have been crying, merciful, merciful, merciful. But what were they crying? Holy, holy, holy. Because I know some of us will want to become associated with the Most High from now. But his standard is high. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 to 16, 1 Peter 1, verse 15 to 16, he said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Birds of the same feather flock together. You can't walk with me unless you are willing to be holy. In 1 Samuel 15, verse 1 to 22, 1 Samuel 15, verse 1 to 22, the Bible tells of the story of a young man, King Saul. He was the smallest fellow in his father's house. His father's house was the smallest in the tribe. The tribe was the smallest in Israel. God picked him up from nothing and made him a king. And then he gave him instructions. Go and wipe out the Amalekites. Male, female, children, animals, anything. Just wipe them out. This king went. He killed the men, killed the women, killed the children, and spared the king and the fat animals. God said, to obey is better than sacrifice. Want to walk with me? It has to be complete obedience. Complete obedience. In Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30, Matthew 11, 28 to 30, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But he added immediately, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You want all my blessings? He said, you must come under a new management. I've always told my children, don't let anybody deceive you when they say that God loves us equally. That's not true. Because I know he loves me more than you. Now you have said he loves you more than me, so that means he doesn't love us equally. But the closer you get to him, the higher the standard. And I mean the higher the standard. So I want to tell you the whole truth. Because we're about to take a decision now. The moment you say, Most High God, for the rest of my life, I want to be with you. I want to be your partner. Wherever you go, I want to go. Wherever I go, I want you to go with me. I want you to be the shadow following me everywhere. He's going to tell you clearly, in that case, no more fraud, no more lying, no more cheating, no more fornicating, no more drunkenness, no more drugs. That's the truth. There'll be those who will tell you that once you give your life to Jesus Christ, you can then do whatever you like, that you will still go to heaven. That is not the heaven where my God is. There's no unclean thing there. People have asked me again and again, sir, tell us the secret of your success. I say, I discover early that holiness is the master key. You know, I'll tell you a story from my own life. Very soon I will be praying. I didn't even know I would stay this long. There must be something special about you. Because now, at the age of 75, I normally don't preach longer than an hour. And I've been here now for almost two. God taught me early. You want us to walk together? Yes, Lord. I'm nothing. You picked me up. You've turned me to what I am. Whatever you want that I will do, okay. Total obedience. Because that's the meaning of holiness. Just obey God, that's all. Sit down, stand up, you stand up. Don't do this, you don't do it. Whatever his word says, I don't want you, you don't want it too. You love what he loves, you hate what he hates. That's holiness. Yeah. We wanted to dig a pit latrine. You don't know what is called pit latrine. Just, let's call it soak away, all right? It's not exactly the same thing, but it will do. We wanted to build one for boys, one for girls. And so we hired a surveyor as a contractor. And we agreed, in those days we were measuring in feet, that he will dig for us 60 feet in length, 6 feet in breadth, and two of them. And we agreed on the price. Then we got to where he was going to do the digging. And he began to measure. And instead of measuring in feet, he was measuring in meters. That's more than 3 times what we agreed on. And I saw it. And God spoke to me and said, son, correct him. I said, no, Lord. If he's a surveyor and he doesn't know the difference between feet and meters, let him pay for it. And God kept quiet. We got to the second place and he began to measure again in meters. And again, God said, son, correct him. I said, no, I don't know which school he went to. And God kept quiet. And then I turned, and you know, in Nigeria, we have people who can dig. You know, digging over there is still done most of the time with hand. And these people who dig, their hands are tough from several digging. And as tough like iron. So one of the diggers, after I turned, smiled at me and said, Megida, and stretched forth his hand. And I wanted to be a gentleman. So I laughed, I smiled back, and I shook his hand. As soon as he got my hand, he began to crush it. And his hand was like iron. Now you are laughing because it's not your hand that was being crushed. It was very painful. So I said, Lord, Lord, why? And Lord said, I told you to correct him. Ah, I will. And the man released my hand. So I corrected him. In the meantime, my hand was burning like fire. As I was going back to my car, I began to grumble. Lord, the punishment is too much for the offense. And God spoke to me and said, son, I told you are special to me, and I will tolerate no nonsense from you. Don't joke with the Most High. Don't mess around with him. If you want to partner with him, he can take you to great heights. I mean, look at me, the son of a farmer, so poor, poor people call him poor. From a village that is not even on the map of Nigeria. If you know the number of presidents who are eager to have me visit with them, that I will sit down, we drink tea, we talk for hours. You'll be amazed. Promotion comes from God. It can do the same for you, but he will not tolerate nonsense. But if you want, he can help you. If you come to him, he can make all things new. He can wipe away all the sins of the past. I've just told you how rotten I was. He can make it completely something that when you talk about it, it will be an encouragement to others. He can hold your hand and help you. I gave my life to Jesus Christ in 1973. He's the one who has kept me till now because I'm willing. He says, I will hold you by your right hand and I will help you. So tonight, before we do the rest of the things we want to do, if you are here and you want the Most High to become your senior partner, to guide you, to remove your physical mountains, your material mountains, your spiritual mountains, to promote you to a level you can't even dream possible, why don't you come and surrender your life to him? Because that's the first step, the step I took that changed my life. So if you are here and you are not yet born again, or you say you are born again but you are still living in disobedience to him, and you really want to come to him now for genuine salvation, because if you are truly a child of God, oh, you wouldn't want to sin at all. I'm going to count from 1 to 10. Before I say 10, come and stand before me here. I will pray for your salvation, and it will be the genuine one this time round, and everything will become new for you. So I'm going to begin to count now. If you want to give your life to Jesus, you want genuine salvation, don't wait for anybody. You might be the only one. You just come now as I'm counting. 1. Two. Don't wait for your friend. Your friend may not want to come. That is his own choice or her own choice. You just come. It is your life, and you want to surrender your life to the Most High God who can do all things for you. 3. Thank you, those of you who are clapping. Your hands will never be empty. 4. Come, this is your day. This is your own opportunity to have a brand new beginning. When you come to Jesus Christ, he will save your soul. He will forgive your sins. And all things will become new. That's what he did for me. He will do the same for you. 5. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Hurry up. 6. Tell the devil to leave you alone. I'm going to surrender my life to Jesus Christ. Don't hold me down. I want a brand new beginning. Come on, quickly. The Lord is waiting for you. 7. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Keep clapping, those of you who are clapping. Your hands will never wither. Keep clapping. 8. Hurry up. Hurry up. We're going to the last countdown. Hurry up quickly. This is your day of salvation. Or maybe you were born again before, but you know you are backsliding. The things you say you will never do again, you are already doing them again. Come back. Come back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come for restoration tonight. Come very quickly. Come. 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 The Lord is waiting for you. Don't miss this opportunity. This should be a night for you to remember. A night of salvation, a night of restoration. Come quickly. Come quickly. Yes, I wait for 10 seconds more. Yes, I see you coming. God bless you, my sister. God bless you, my brother. God bless you, sister. Keep coming. Keep coming. This is your own day. Tell the devil to leave you alone. I want to surrender my life to my maker. Devil, don't hold me down. I'm going. God bless you, sister. God bless you, brother. God bless you, sister. God bless you. God bless you, brother. I can see you there. I'll wait 5 seconds for you. Anyone else coming? Yes, God bless you, brother. Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. This is your day. This is your day. Come and surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Let him save your soul. Let him wash away your sins. Let him give you a brand new beginning. Don't miss this opportunity. Tomorrow might be too late. God bless you, sister. You are welcome. You are welcome. Anyone else who wants to come? Make sure you get there before I finish praying. 9. That's the last countdown. Now, those of us who are already in front, talk to the Almighty God. Say, I've come to surrender my life to you. Please save my soul. Forgive all my sins. And I will serve you for the rest of my life. Go ahead, talk to him. God bless you, my brother. You are welcome. You are not late yet. Anyone else who still wants to come, you can still come. The rest of us, please, let's stretch our hands towards this, our brothers and sisters. Let us intercede for them. Let's pray that the Almighty God, who saved our own souls, will save their souls also. Let's pray that the great restorer will restore every backslider to himself today. If you want to come, it's not too late yet. You can still come. God bless you, my brother. I can see you. Come, come, come. It's not late yet. God bless you. God bless you, my sister. You're welcome. Come, come. Come, just get here before I finish praying. God bless you, sister. You're welcome too. Yes, this is your day. This is your day. Come on. It's not too late yet. Come. Just get here before I finish praying. Yes, God bless you, brother. You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. Anyone else who still wants to come, you can still come. Just come and cry to him. Lord, have mercy on me. Save my soul. Forgive my sins, and I will serve you for the rest of my life. Yes, keep coming. Keep coming. God bless you, my brother. You're welcome, too. You're welcome. You're not late yet. Yes, God bless you, my brother. You're welcome. God bless you, sister. You're welcome. It's not too late. Just come, get up before I finish praying, and it will be all right. And God bless you, sister. You're welcome, too. Keep coming. Keep coming. God bless you, brother. I can see you on the way. Come. Come. I wait another 3 seconds. Come. You're not too late yet. This is your day of salvation. God bless you, sister. You are welcome. God bless you, brother. You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. This is your day. You're welcome. Welcome, brother. Oh, welcome, brother. Welcome, sister. Welcome, brother. Glory be to God. Come. You're not late yet. Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. You're welcome. You're welcome. This is your day. This is your day. If anyone still wants to come, you can still come. You can still come. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Almighty. If you are coming, just wave your hand so I know you are coming, so I can wait for you. Thank you, Father. Yes? You still coming? Yes. Glory be to God. Come on. Come on. You are not late yet. You are not late yet. You are not late yet. You are not late at all. Come. Come. This is your day of salvation. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. If you are still coming, come. You are not late yet. I will wait. Glory be to God. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Savior, I want to bless your holy name. Thank you for your word. And thank you for these people that have come to surrender their lives to you. And they are coming with a strong determination. They want to become one of your children. And they want to say bye-bye to a life of sin. I thank you, Lord. On their behalf, accept my thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Father, you promised that whosoever will come unto you, you will no wise cast out. They have come to you now, Father. Please receive them. Amen. Forgive them. Amen. Let your blood wash them clean.
Amen.
Save their souls.
Amen.
Write their names in the book of life.
Amen.
And from now on, anytime they call on you, please answer them by fire.
Amen.
Thank you, my Father and my God. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. Now, those of you in front, let me hear you shout hallelujah. I'm rejoicing with you. You know what? From now on, by the special grace of God, for the rest of my life, I'll be praying for you.
Amen.
And very soon, you'll be getting some miracles you didn't even ask for.
Amen.
That will tell you somebody is somewhere praying for you.
Amen.
And that somebody will be me.
Amen.
So I'm going to need your names, your address, and your prayer request, so that I will know how to pray. So if you will turn to your right, you will see a man there leaving up a placard. Kindly follow him. Some pastors are waiting. They will collect the information I need, and they bring you back very quickly. Let's begin to go now. Let's clap for Jesus Christ as they begin to go. Please, really, really clap. This is a great miracle of God. So many souls saved. Let's keep on clapping.
Friday, June 8th is the 2018 RCCG Canada Holy Ghost Service featuring Pastor E. Edeboye, Pastor Folu Edeboye, Pastor Nathaniel Bassey, Pastor Kunle Ajayi, and other ministers. The theme is Let the Fire Fall, 7 p.m. at the International Center, 6900 Airport Road, Mississauga. Admission is free. Come and experience the power of the Lord. Call 1-866-586-RCCG or visit rccgcanada.org.
Take out your handkerchiefs or any piece of cloth. Of course, if you haven't dropped your offering, don't let the ushers go. Just tell them, don't cheat me. Come and collect mine. Thank you, Father. Any piece of cloth will do, in case you don't have an handkerchief. Oh, glory be to God. My Father, my God, I bless your name. I want to thank you for your faithfulness. You have proved yourself again and again that wherever I go, you will come along with me. Thank you for being here again tonight. Thank you for salvation of souls. Thank you for healings. I know the testimonies will begin to flow in now.
Amen.
Accept our thanks in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now, my Father and my God, as I wave my hand, that power that raised Lazarus from the dead, let it saturate this handkerchief. So mightily, Lord God Almighty, that wherever these pieces of cloth will be used, miracles will happen.
Amen.
The dead will rise.
Amen.
The lame will walk.
Amen.
Businesses that had already died will begin to blossom again.
Amen.
Marriages that are already dead will come back to life.
Amen.
Father, I'm praying that as a result of these pieces of cloth that have been anointed, including those who are lifting up their own all over the world now, I pray as a result of these handkerchiefs and pieces of cloth being anointed, testimonies will never end.
Amen.
Please receive the offering of your children.
Amen.
Sanctify it.
Amen.
Use it for your glory.
Amen.
And all who have given tonight, my Father and my God, I pray that they will never lack.
Amen.
As you begin to go, God will go with you.
Amen.
On your way, there will be miracles.
Amen.
At home, miracles will be waiting for you. Even by Sunday morning,
When you are sharing your testimonies, people will shout hallelujah. Amen. The Almighty will defend you.
Amen.
He will fight your battles for you.
Amen.
The Most High will promote you.
Amen.
You will always be heard.
Amen.
You will never be tail.
Amen.
You won't know failure again.
Amen.
For the rest of your life, you will not know sorrow.
Amen.
Your joy will overflow.
Amen.
The God who sent me to you will prosper you.
Amen.
From now on, any time I hear concerning any of you, it will be good news.
Amen.
And together we will serve God.
Amen.
We will serve Him to the end.
Amen.
In the kingdom of God, none of us will be missing.
Amen.
So shall it be.
Amen.
And whether the devil likes it or not, Europe shall be saved.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. Shout a big hallelujah.
Friday, June 8th is the 2018 RCCG Canada Holy Ghost Service featuring Pastor E. Edeboye, Pastor Folu Edeboye, Pastor Nathaniel Bassey, Pastor Kunle Ajayi, and other ministers. The theme is Let the Fire Fall, 7 p.m. at the International Center, 6900 Airport Road, Mississauga. Admission is free. Come and experience the power of the Lord. Call 1-866-586-RCCG or visit rccgcanada.org.